Good to see all of you this morning. Hopefully you all had a good past week and are having a good weekend so far. Beautiful weather out there. Hopefully you've had a chance to get out and enjoy some of that beautiful weather this morning. It's good to see all of you back this week. We've got some visitors this morning. We want to say good morning and welcome to you all this morning. At this time, we're going to go ahead and jump into the announcements. Seemed like everybody had something for me to announce this morning, so Got quite a few things to touch on this morning. First one being the Ladies' Council. You'll be having a luncheon directly following service today. It is a luncheon slash meeting. So if you're a part of the Giggles Council, please stay for that. And then any of you that might find yourself to be handy, we are needing some assistance to repair the parsonage in Aurora. If you think that you might be able to do that, Rennie Nance is going to have a brief meeting. Rennie, where are you going to talk at? This West Side Overflow Classroom. Any of you all that might be interested in helping out with that, meet with Rennie directly following service, and he can give you some more information on that. We've got small groups this evening. If you're not part of a small group, want to some more information on it, see myself, see Pastor, and we can get you that information. Then tomorrow is Halloween. By the few number of bags of candy that are in the office, that means that everybody's going to be there tomorrow, right? If for some reason you haven't had a chance to bring in some candy, still want to, we have until about 5:30, 6 o'clock tomorrow to get that candy in. If you are planning on being a part of the Trunk or Treat tomorrow, that is from 6 to 8, we're asking that you be here and be ready no later than 5:30. We are trying to be all set up. That way we can have a quick prayer over all of the people that will show up. But if maybe you're not wanting to have a car in there, but you want to help out in another capacity, we are needing some volunteers. We're hoping to have a greeter or two, someone to man the gate, and then we always do parking in this backfield, and we're looking for 2 to 3 people for parking. If there's anybody that would be willing to volunteer, you can either raise your hand now so Pastor will know, or just see Pastor either directly following service or tonight. But we are needing 1 or 2 volunteers for greeters, 1 person to man the gate, and then 2 to 3 people for parking for tomorrow night for Trunk or Treat. And again, that is from 6 to 8, but please try to be here ready to go by 5:30. Steve wanted me to make certain I mention choir practice this coming Wednesday. We didn't have it last week because of the town hall meeting, which, by the way, we had a great, great turnout for that town hall meeting. But this Wednesday, we'll have our regular Bible study, and the children and teens will meet. But, of course, choir practice will resume at 6:30. Then the end of this week, we have got our annual revival scheduled with Susie Schellenberg. Our schedule is a little bit different this year as compared to years past. Our first revival meeting will be Friday evening here at the church at 6:30. Then Saturday morning, the ladies are going to have a brunch and conference starting at 10 o'clock and going to noon. Then Saturday evening, we all will be in session here at 6:30. And then the last revival meeting will actually be Sunday morning. We're going to have, I believe, our Sunday school, all of our Sunday school classes will be in here from 9:30 to 10:30. So if you don't normally come to Sunday school, this is a week that you won't want to miss. And then, of course, the regular service at 10:30 will also be revival. This weekend happens to be the end of daylight savings time, so you're going to get an extra hour of sleep. So you really don't have any excuse not to be here at 9:30. You'll still get that hour of sleep that some of you guys might need. So be in prayer this week that we, for Shelley, that God will open up her heart, give her the words that we need to hear for revival. Then Sister Linda gave me this note that says, there are some items on the food bar in the fellowship hall that can be taken. So we've had some fellowships the last week or so, and some of you may have had leftovers. So some of those leftovers are still here at the church and can be taken. And if you are missing a Rubbermaid or a Tupperware lid, there are a few that have been left, so check that out. Don't take the pumpkins, though. Those pumpkins are going to be used. And then... Okay. So there are perishable items that need to be... Oh, okay. So stop by the kitchen, the fellowship hall, and see if there's something that maybe you've left. Then holiday season is right around the corner, and as in years past, the Ladies Fellowship will be taking pie orders. There are pie order forms. We've got apple, pecan, pumpkin, and then a breakfast quiche. Are they 15-inch pies? 15-inch pies, and they're $15 a piece. The orders and the money are due by November the 13th, and then the pies can be picked up on Sunday, November the 20th. So see any one of the Ladies Fellowship. Will you guys be having a table out in the foyer anytime? Okay, so get an order form, see any of the Ladies Fellowship, and they will get you set. My last announcement is October's got 2 days left. That means November's starting Tuesday. We have a new school building that we will be focusing in for prayer, and that is SB Elementary. So the month of November, we'll focus on SB. Lift up their students, staff, and faculty in prayer during that month. Thank you.
I am 8 years old and I live in Sighișoara, Romania. This is my home. I share these two rooms with my four brothers and my two sisters and my mother and father. Life was not always this good. My family used to move a lot. My house, it was very small. We lived in one room house. We had no furniture. My father didn't have a job. My mother took care of us, and there was never very much to eat. We had almost nothing. Now things are different. My sister heard about a place for kids called Veritas Family Center. At first, I was nervous to go. I didn't know what it was about, but it was fun and I made lots of friends. They fed us good food. My favorite is spaghetti. We get to play lots of games. They helped us find our new home. They even teach us about Jesus. Soon, I want to have my own Bible that I can take when I go to church. My sister and I walk half of a mile to school. I am pretty good at school. My favorite subject is Romanian. When I grow up, I want to be a policeman so I can help people. I love Veritas Family Center and all my friends here and the staff who loves us. Sometimes I think about my old home, but then I remember how God has given us a new home. I found Jesus through the Veritas Family Center. Hide and seek is my favorite game because they always find me.
Thank you. Hide and seek was his favorite game because they always found him. Whatever, huh? Much different life than what we live. And our knowledge of the mission field needs to grow. And our giving to build and help and open doors for children all around the world is so important. I'd like to have our ushers come at this time and receive our weekly tithes and offerings.
Father, we come to you this morning a grateful people. We, after watching this video this morning, we realize how blessed we are to live in a country that
yes.
seemingly has every blessing you can bestow upon a people. But we want to be ever mindful, Lord, of so much of the world don't live as we do. And Lord, we want to remember as we give a portion of what you so bless us with, that it goes to help feed the children, help bring a Bible into their hands, and help teach about Christ to all areas of the world. And Lord, we pray this morning, Lord, is to give a portion back to you that it might go to further your kingdom in every part of the world. In these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Strength to live for you. nothing has the power to save, but your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, cause nothing has the power to save but your name.
Prepare our hearts for prayer this morning. Jennifer and I would like very much to say thank you for the couple of weeks of vacation time away. And about 8:30 on a Sunday evening two weekends ago, we were especially appreciative for your prayers as one of God's wonderful, beautiful creatures leaped out in front of our car and smashed our front end. And I guess we kind of smashed him back. But at any rate, we felt your prayers of protection. Indeed, the car was damaged a slight amount, and we crippled into Jonesboro, Arkansas, on one headlight pointed in the wrong direction. And we were able to finish the trip and get to a salvage yard and make some repairs and make the trip home. And it was an enjoyable time. But we missed you. It's good to be back with you this morning, and we thank you for those prayers. It's always great to be intercessors, but it's an especial feeling when you know you've been on the receiving end of prayer, you know, and God has blessed you. And so as a result of that, it makes me even more conscious of these persons and situations that we want to be sensitive to in our prayers. And we certainly want to remember our sister churches that are going through the church health
initiative. There are five consecutive weekends going on. Then this is our week to pray for the Neosho Church. I think the actual assessment maybe was at Ava Highway this past weekend. But we're praying for these churches as they go through the same things that we have gone through, and in allowing God to allow His reflection to show them where they are and perhaps where they need to be. And so we ask you to continue to pray for our own church as we prepare. We are about 2 weeks away. The vote whether to follow through the prescriptions will be on the 13th of November in the Sunday morning service. And so I hope that you will make it a matter of prayer. I know that we ask you to do that for a couple weeks, and we feel like you did that. And let me just say, man, I couldn't be any more enthused, any more proud about a group of people who showed up. You know, we have our current Sunday morning average attendance is 87. There were 80 people here Wednesday night. And that's a tremendous showing of your interest in your church and its future, and you living out what the kingdom of God has for your life. And so from the bottom of my heart, thank you, thank you, thank you. That was tremendous, and I appreciate that. And people have been communicating. People who could not be with us were communicating with us as well. Everybody was trying to do their part. And so we thank you, everyone, for your involvement in that process. And now I pray that you will involve yourself in the same way in continuing to pray that God will speak to our hearts and direct our minds as we prepare for the vote on the 13th. Matter of fact, I know that maybe too much pride is a good thing, but it would make me really happy if you would make me just as proud Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning in the ladies' conference on Saturday. If you would come with the same enthusiasm and the same support and the same commitment and the same involvement to these revival services with which you came to that town hall meeting, I'm going to tell you, God will do something in this church. That's not even a question. When you come with your cup turned up and you're saying, Lord, I'm hungry for you. Lord, I want to hear your voice. I'm listening for you. And I want you to speak to me. And I'm going to do whatever you lay on my heart. Let me tell you, revival will come to the church. And so we're thankful for having a great speaker. Pastor Don and I have a personal experience with Susie, and she is a dynamic speaker, and we're excited about that, but we're more excited that we serve an amazing, dynamic God, and He will come on the scene, and He will be present, and He will be a part if we indeed open our hearts and our minds to Him. So I hope that you'll make the same commitment to these revival services as you did to the town hall meeting, and that we'll come out in full support and allow God to just do a work in our lives and in our church as we go through this revival process. And then, you know, right in the midst of all that, we're gonna elect a national leader. It's gonna be another vote, and you need to pray that God will give you guidance and direction, and that we will vote for God and biblical principle to lead our nation. Pray and follow God's direction. There are multiple people that are mentioned within our bulletin, and we continue to remember those folks in our prayers. We have folks that are away from us this morning, out doing ministry, out loving people and helping people, and so they're not in our service this morning, but you pray for them that God will help them to know that we miss them. We look forward to them returning, but He's with them, that they'll feel His presence and His power in what they're doing this morning. And then we have some situations that we want to be mindful of. I just visited with Chris Downing this morning, and her father continues to deteriorate slowly. And so I know she would appreciate your prayers for her family. Julie is not with us this morning. Did not have a good night last night. But oh, if you could have seen her making popcorn the other day. Oh, what a deal. That was wonderful. Thank you to our seniors who came out the other day. We have 240 bags of popcorn to give out to the folks who will come through Trunk or Treat on Monday night because of the work of those that seniors and that Sunday school class that was involved. And so thank you to all of you for what you've been doing to reach out. Ben told you we'd like to have some volunteers to help with parking and things. I almost always forget about that until the night of the meeting. But here's what God's been laying on my heart. Almost every year I dress up and greet people as they come in. And just really had it on my heart that if I can get somebody to be the greeters and the parking lot attendants, that I'd kind of like to maybe just have a canopy or something that when people pass through, that I can introduce them in my regular clothes and my regular face as the pastor of this church, and that I can offer prayer for them. If there's anything that they need prayer for, that I'd just like to be there before they walk off our campus and offer up the opportunity to pray for them. And so if you're not a trunk or treater person and you don't make a trunk, but you're willing to come and help, that just let me know, and I'll appreciate that, and I'll clue you in as to what we need there. We need to pray. We need to pray for Scott and George Ann this morning. George Ann's mom continues to deteriorate, and they are making some important decisions as a family. Her brothers and sisters, siblings there, in regard to her mother's health and basically her life. And without divine help, those are tough decisions. They're tough decisions anyway. But we love our church family. We pray for their protection as they travel. We pray for God's presence and power in the rooms where they will have conversations and make decisions. And we just want them to know that they sense His help as they deal with those things in that place. And so these altars are open to you this morning. There are many things we haven't mentioned. I know there are things on your heart and mind. God knows every situation. And if you just need a place to lay that burden down, these altars are open to you this morning. Perhaps it's been a really great week in your life and you just need to give God some praise. Here's a place to lift that up to Him, just as you've been doing in the songs already. But these altars are available to you. And so we're going to sing together again, and then we're going to put our voices together and pray to the Heavenly Father. Thank Him that we have the opportunity to step right into the throne room, sit in His lap, have His arms of love wrapped around us, and let Him know what we need. And to thank Him for all that He's done. And we're going to do that after we sing. If you need a place to pray, you come.
Jesus, we love You. We worship and adore You. Glorify Thy name in all the earth.
Privileged to be in Your house and in Your presence today. We thank You for who You are. Thank You for what You can do. We thank You for the relationship that You have allowed us the opportunity to have with You, to have our sins forgiven, to have our hearts cleansed, to have our lives filled with the presence of Your Holy Spirit, to have the guidance and direction of Your Holy Word, and to have that Spirit to guide us and to reveal it to us and help us to interpret it and apply it into our lives. Lord, we are a blessed people. Lord, we're also needy people. And so we thank You for Your wonderful gifts, for Your mercy, for Your love. We thank You for this church family. We thank You for this facility in which to gather, to hear from You and to learn of You. We thank You for food on our tables and clothes on our backs. And even though there are challenges oftentimes to us financially, Lord, You seem to always find a way to provide, and we give You praise for that. Lord, for those of us who may be enjoying times of plenty, let us be sensitive to those who are struggling. And if we can offer a helping hand, allow us to do so. Make us aware of each other, to respond to need. Lord, we think about things within our own personal congregation. We think about this Aurora Parsonage that they're trying to prepare for a new pastor to come and to pastor that small congregation that we believe could be a large congregation. And Lord, so we just want to do our part to help our brothers and sisters, to help the kingdom of God, to indeed be on mission and task to serve. Lord, we pray that you would prepare our hearts and minds, beginning as you've already done, but continuing in this service today to prepare us to receive revival services, to prepare us to make decisions in votes for our church, votes for our country, and Lord, in becoming who you want us to be and exercising the rights and privileges and responsibilities that you've given to us to be citizens and to be participants in the process. Lord, may you guide each one of us. We're not going to tell each other what to do, how to vote. Lord, we seek you today. We seek you. We want to know what you think. And then, Lord, give us the strength to think like you and act on it. We just want to be in the center of your will. We just want to know that it's well with our souls and that we are being obedient to the commission that you left with us. Thank you, Father, for this church family. Thank you for this place of worship. Thank you for the privilege of being in the presence of your throne room, to crawl up into your lap of love that the scripture says you lavish on us. So Lord, if there's somebody here this morning that doesn't feel loved, if there's somebody here who feels alone, if there's somebody here who thinks they don't measure up or fit in or whatever, Lord, we pray that you would just wrap your arms around them and tell them that's not true. That you love us all the same. And that you want to be a part of our lives. And Lord, I was so moved by that little boy saying at the end of that video, I like to play hide and seek because they always come find me. And the thing that crossed my mind immediately, Lord, is who is it? Who is it that's out in the world that I'm supposed to be looking for? Oh God, forgive me when I've been so self-consumed that all I could think about was my own situations, my own life. Lord, help me to seek you first and then help me to seek those who need to be found. We love you and we thank you for loving us. Have your will and your way in our lives and in this church, we pray in the precious and powerful name of your son Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I want to turn your attentions to the book of Ephesians. Now, I want you to know that I'm a work in progress, okay? I'm working on several things, and God is working on me. I'm trying to work on my time management. I've got lots of things that I do and I'm involved in that I enjoy, and so I'm trying to go to bed earlier. I've tried my very best this week to get up at 5:30 every morning and pray. I'm trying. I read one of the books that are in the leadership training that was written by a very successful pastor, a very growing church, and he said he tries to preach from one passage of Scripture. He tries to hang within one text. And being that I tend by personality to lean toward topical preaching rather than just straight exegesis, then a lot of times you have on your list all kinds of Scriptures from all kinds of places. I'm learning that that's not really supposed to be real conducive, particularly to the unchurched or the non-believer to have to run all over the place. So I'm working on that. I just assure you, by the end of this sermon this morning, I haven't got there yet. Okay? But I'm working on it. I'm working on it. And so I want you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. I want you to know that as I have gotten up at 5:30 and prayed every morning, I don't know whether it's because I'm still half asleep and can't hear good or just what it is that I'm trying to adjust my physical, mental well-being. But this is the third sermon I've been developing this week. As I have prayed and sought God's direction and God's will, I started one sermon and he said, that's not the one. So it's on the back burner. I'm still working on it. You may get it later. Who knows? And so I moved from that to this other place and I said, okay, man, I'm on it. I'm on it. By the time I got through prayer Friday morning, God said, you're not on it. And he moved me another place. And so where I'm at this morning and what I want to share with you this morning is what I believe indeed in prayer has been where God has moved me to speak to you. And here's the thing. We cannot get away from the human factors. And the human factors are that we're influenced by what's going on environmentally, you know, at a time. And we're trying to speak to need as we sense it and feel it and perceive it. And so I understand that. And so I'm sure that has had some play in this as I've the week has developed and as I have prayed and sought God's direction. But I want to talk to you about body unity. Body unity. This passage in Ephesians is a great passage, speaks to the work of the church. And so I want us to read it together and think about some things this morning. And I'm going to break it down so that it is not the entire passage. So we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 3, jump to verse 11, read through 13, then jump to verse 15, and finish at 16. And we're going to break. We may refer back to other parts of the passage, but that's how we're going to take the passage this morning. So, you know, we need to change things up once in a while and do some things different. And Justin, I'm assuming that we have this ready to read on the Scriptures. And so would you stand with me in reverence to the reading of the Word this morning? I don't always do this. I don't do it a lot of times. But let's do it this morning and hear the Word of the Lord. Beginning at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And then going to verse 11. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And then to verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You may be seated, and may God add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. I thought about this word unity. And a lot of times in Christian circles, our perception, we want so much to be tuned into the perfect will of God and the perfect example of God, that sometimes we kind of misinterpret how certain things can play out. By the way, can I just stop for a second? I really, you know I'm going to whether you say I can or not, so I don't know why I even asked, but I want to stop for just a second and say, I see what you're doing. I see it. Some of you are closer to the front than you used to be. I see that. And that was one of the things that Paul Borden talked about in the assessment weekend and those kind of things about people moving forward and coming. I see that. And that kind of gets me excited. So I've got my watch on here. I'm going to try to not get too excited and be conscious of time and treat you well. Because I like it. Man, I like it. I haven't seen some of you this close, and I don't know when. Actually, see what you look like. See the dimples in your cheeks and those kind of things. That's great. Thank you. Thank you. You know, one of the most exciting things to any pastor, Pastor Don, would you agree with this? One of the most exciting things with any pastor is that when some kind of a request or a truth or an action is put out as a challenge to the people and they respond to that, that's exciting, isn't it? That just gets you worked up. So thank you. Thank you so much. I've noticed that, and so I appreciate that. But I want to talk to you about the definition of unity here as we begin this morning. And you know how it is with definitions. If you want a definition of something, where do you go? The dictionary. So good job, MJ. The Webster's Collegiate Dictionary says this about unity. And I think it's interesting sometimes when there's multiple definitions of things, because this really spoke to my heart. Because I think the fallacy is that we think unity is everybody thinks exactly alike. We'll be unified. I'm just going to tell you, that's a farce. Listen to these definitions. Unity is the quality or state of being one. Now, are there some people here that look different? Are there some people here that are of different ages? Are there some people here who are of different genders? Are there some people here who have come from different states? Think about the amount of diversity that there is right here. But think about the fact that the reason we're here is to worship God. We're unified in that purpose. We may enjoy doing it different ways. You know, part of the conversation has been changing styles of music. There's all kinds of methodology, but God is God, and we love Him for one reason. He loved us first, and it's in His Son. And we celebrate that. We do it differently sometimes, but we celebrate. The quality or state of being one. So in all this diversity, we are here for one thing this morning, and that's to hear from God. Number two, a combination of quantities taken as one. Now, every one of you has a name. And if somebody knew every one of us, like any one of us, we know we could name everyone individually. But when you put us together, all of us as individuals, when you put us together, someone who recognizes us, you know what they say our name is? They don't call out every one of our individual names. You know what they say our name is? Nixa Church of the Nazarene. There's the Nixa Church of the Nazarene, folk. Quantity taken as one. You'll appreciate this, Janet. Unity is defined as harmony. Now, I'm old school. I used to travel with Southern Gospel Quartet. And I just found yesterday, I got a Facebook message several months ago from the daughter of the two people I used to, sing with, and they're now, they've gone separate ways and they're divorced. But she was a baby when we were singing together. And she Facebooked me and she said, would you happen to have a recording of when you guys used to sing? I said, I will probably do somewhere. I don't know if it's any good, but I'll try to find it. And for months, I've kind of been wandering around. And I ran across Saturday. I was in the garage looking for something else. And I found an old box of cassette tapes. And one of the cassette tapes was July 25th at the Gazebo. The Gazebo was a Christian supper restaurant in Joplin. And this was a 90-minute tape of a presentation that we did as a group at that time that was known as Endless Love. I'm not even going to get into that. But at any rate, we sang together Southern gospel music, and I love four-part harmony. But those four parts make up one song. Now, you can sing that same song in unison. You can sing many songs in unison. Unison is a good thing. But there's something that happens in four-part harmony that doesn't happen in unison. Yet everybody's headed the same direction for the same purpose, same thing. Number four, reference of all the parts to a single main idea. Everything that we've been going through in the assessment, assessing ministries, assessing purposes and facilities, there's all kinds of reference to the parts, but the main idea is, how are all of those things helping fulfill the one thing that Jesus said to us when he left the earth, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. That's the main idea. Go and make disciples. So, reference of all the parts to a main idea creates unity. And so I want to try efficiently this morning to speak to you about some truths that I hope will help us. How many of you believe that the devil is real? How many of you think he doesn't want you to go to heaven? How many of you think he would like to mess up God's plans any way he can? Okay. So with that thought in mind, understand that anywhere there is diversity, there is the opportunity for there to be unity or lack of unity. But diversity in itself is not the problem. So here's what I want to suggest to you this morning that I believe the Scripture says to us as we think about unity in the body of Christ. First of all, differences will always exist. They just will. I mean, look at us. I was planning this trip, and I was talking openly to some of our congregation about, and they said, what are you going to do on vacation? Well, I'm going to go up to Kansas City for a little bit, and then I'm going to go to Alabama. Well, you know what? Some of you been to Alabama before. And do you know y'all don't get there the same way? Because I had people telling me how to get where I was going. And I was offered multiple routes. Now, I looked at the map. Do you know that every one of you were right? Every one of you. You can get there that way. But when I plugged in my little GPS, it said to me very confidently, this is the fastest route. Now, there were other options. Matter of fact, y'all know that I'm an Elvis fan, and you know that I was planning on stopping at Graceland. You know, well, that didn't happen. But it's okay because I went to Tupelo. You know what happened in Tupelo? That's where Elvis was born. Well, what's the point of knowing what a guy did with his life if you don't know where he came from? So I got to see the house that Elvis was born in, and the city where Elvis was born, and up to the point of moving to Memphis And you know what? In the process of being in Alabama, my wife's brother and sister-in-law said to us, "Well, we've never been to Graceland either. We'd like to meet you in Memphis. Now that we're back in the States, we'd like to meet you in Memphis. Let's do it together." And so that's on the to-do list. That's on the future list. We're going to go to Graceland together. And I just so happens that I have a buddy who's a pastor here in town that he used to be an Elvis impersonator. Did you know that they just opened up this week a brand new motel on Graceland? And everything in the motel is designed around the house of Graceland, all the furnishings and those kinds of things. And so he says to me, "Hey, when you go to Graceland, let me know. Maybe I go with you." He said, "They got some new stuff." And I said, "You know, I'm way ahead of you, dude, because my wife already said you should get Lance to go with us because he can be our tour guide because he's been there like who knows how many times." Diversity. Multiple ways of getting to the same point. Unity. Being in one accord, getting there. Now I want you to think about this. How many of you remember this phrase? "Can't we all just get along?" Now, I know some of you think that came from your mom, you know, when you were growing up. But that phrase came out of the Rodney King riots. You know, how many of you remember this phrase, "Black lives matter"? And how many of you remember the response that "all lives matter"? "Blue lives matter"? You know, the point is, we have a lot of point of views, but there's a point where we all come together. How many of you have ever heard of Democrats and Republicans? How many of you have heard of Americans? We have differences, but there's a point where we all come together. How many of you have ever heard of the institution? This might be a new novel idea to you. How many of you have heard of the institution of marriage? How many of you have experienced that unity in marriage does not necessarily mean always agreeing? You can have a common goal, you can have a common purpose, you can be headed in the same direction, but you might see two different ways of getting there. Matter of fact, they say that opposites attract, which is why that statement through the years has sustained itself that says, agree to disagree agreeably. That is unity with diversity. Differences exist. Listen to this. Romans chapter 12. Verses 4 and 5. "Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body. And each member belongs to all the others." And so part of diversity that creates unity out of diversity is called mutual respect. When we have corporate accountability, when we realize it's not all about me, but it's about everyone around me as well, learning how, you know, Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Not if you don't get along. But when we respect each other, we can learn from each other. The diversity and the difference of opinion can help us to think better in getting to a single place or purpose. Matter of fact, this is nothing new, and we're not even necessarily talking about carnality here. Because, I mean, go back to the book of Acts. How many of you believe that the New Testament church is a good example to live by? That's following the Bible is a good, that's a good way to live. How many of you believe the Bible's okay? Let me read to you from Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. "In those days when the number of disciples was increasing," church was growing, that's what it means, they were making disciples, "the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food." How many of you would say that was a disagreement? Okay, the Hebraic Jews and the Greek Jews, these are people that are converted. These are people that were historically Jews to start out with. And these were people who began to embrace the Jewish beliefs that were coming in as pagans. These are the people that the Jews, the Hebraic Jews, were trying also to get the Greek Jews and other Jews to be circumcised. and join in all the tradition. They had a disagreement. So disagreement exists within the body. And we're going to talk about the conclusion in just a minute, but let me just move you to another place. Let me move you over into Acts chapter 15. For in Acts chapter 15, how many of you think that Paul is a stand-up kind of guy? Man, if I could be like Paul, wouldn't that be great? If we could all be like Paul. He started churches. He went on missionary journeys. He did all. I mean, he like wrote most of the Bible. So he must be the kind of guy we can look up to. Acts chapter 15, beginning at verse 36. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with him, but Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Now, here were two guys that were going to go together back to the places where they were, and it would have taken them so much time to do that. They had a disagreement, and you know what happened? They both still went. They both took two other guys with them to mentor, and they still accomplished that, but they did twice as much stuff as they could have done if they'd all been together going one spot at one time. And that happened because of a disagreement. So, in the Bible, with the guys who are kind of our heroes and our leaders, they had personalities. Did you know that? They had personalities. Did you know that they had opinions? They had opinions. And so they indeed had differences of opinion. And they had such differences of opinion that they basically said, as far as things stand right now, I can't work with you. So did that mean that one of them was a Christian and one of them wasn't a Christian? Is the black and white kind of thing to say one of them was right and one of them was wrong? Or is it possible that there was some difference? Now, here's the good part. We're not even going to hang in that area for very long. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back to Acts chapter 6 and read verse 5. Because there was a plan that was put out there about these Jews disagreeing about the taking care of the widows. And this is what verse 5 said. This proposal pleased the whole group. This proposal pleased the whole group. They had a proposal, and they basically voted on it, and it pleased the whole group. Is it the choice that every one of them would have made? Did every one of them think of that same proposal? Maybe there were other proposals that were put out there, excuse me. But the point was, they came to a point of agreement. They worked on it. They put all the ideas out there. They thought about it. They talked about it. They prayed about it. And they found a proposal that they could all agree on. They all liked that proposal. Now, you know, here's Paul and Barnabas, and they had this falling out. The Bible says it was a very sharp disagreement. And that was a problem, you know. They actually said, we can't work together. We can't do ministry together. I'm going my way, you go yours. But here's the really cool part. 5 years later, about 4 or 5 years later, Paul writes to Timothy. You know what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11? I think you probably all have that memorized, don't you? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. This is what it says. Only Luke is with me. Paul is writing to Timothy. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. Same Mark. Same guy that Paul said, Barnabas, you're my best buddy in ministry, but I'm not going with you if you're taking Mark. Because he deserted me. We were doing ministry and he bailed. He was immature. He made a bad decision. He stranded us. And they split went different ways. 5 years later, 4 to 5 years later, now he's saying to Timothy, get Mark, because he's a very helpful guy to me. You see, somewhere along the line, the enemy sells us on this lie, in this bill of goods, that if we have diversity, that we can't do anything together. Lie, 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 lie. Diversity helps us. It helps us to come to an agreement or a place or a conclusion to where we achieve the best. I've had a conversation with several of you asking me what I think about what's happening and these different thoughts and things. And here's what I think. And maybe it's even dangerous to say this, but here's what I think. I think no matter what happens in this vote, up or down, because of the assessment, Nixa Church of the Nazarene will never be the same again. Because here's the deal. Whether you like coffee or you, I don't even drink coffee. I mean, really, as the pastor of a church, why would I want a coffee bar in a place where I don't even drink coffee? Let's have a hot chocolate bar. Melt the chocolate. I don't know. You know, I'm kidding. That's not even the point. The point I'm trying to make is the peripheral stuff. Those things matter. They cost money. There's things that, I mean, it has an impact on us. But here's the deal. This is not about coffee bars and chairs. The reason we will never be the same, whether we sit in pews or whether we sit in chairs, is because we looked into the face of God and God said, I asked you to do something for me and you weren't doing it very well. I left you with a commission. Go and make disciples. And to be quite honest, as nice as you people are and as much as you love each other, you were kind of skirting the issue. You weren't really winning disciples. You're putting the word out there. You're opening the doors of the building. You'd be glad for them to come. How loud does it resonate? I like to play hide and seek because they always come and find me. What did Jesus say to us? They're out there. Go seek them. How about if we change the rules of hide and seek? How about if we say this? Here are the rules of hide and seek. I find my place. I count to 100. You go hide. When I get done counting to 100, I open my eyes so that I can see you and you come back to where I am. And I tag you before you get here. Wouldn't that be a great game? There's no seeking to that. Why did the Son of Man come? To seek and to save. What did Jesus teach in Luke chapter 15? Lost things matter. Go find them. So with all of the possibilities of how to, here's the point of agreement. They're lost, and we need to find them. Simple enough? You believe that's truth? So we'll put our heads together and our hearts together, and we'll work on a plan. Now, I've got about 3 minutes to do the other 2 points. I've only gotten through one point so far. So let me do this. And let's see. Let's just see if I can finish before 12. We need to identify the true opposition. Differences don't have to keep us from a common goal or mean that we can't be friends. And so we have to figure out who the true opposition is. So let me remind you who it is. Ephesians chapter 6. Go back into the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 11 and 12. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You are not the enemy. Do not look across the aisle and say, there's the enemy. Do not look behind you and say, there's the enemy. Do not look in front of you and say, there's the enemy. And please don't look on the platform and say, there's the enemy. The prince of this earth, for the time being, is the devil himself. He's the enemy. How do I know that? 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. This is what it says. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil. How many of you believe the Bible's true? You are not the enemy. The devil is the enemy. Flesh and blood is not the enemy. People are not the enemy. The devil is the enemy. The idea of trying to keep us apart is the enemy. The idea of trying to defeat God's purpose is the enemy. The idea of not fulfilling the Great Commission, that's the enemy. The Bible gives us the devil's job description. John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Let me tell you about the enemy. This is what I think about his job. I think his job is to steal your joy. What did David say when he prayed after he committed adultery with Bathsheba? When he was out there doing what he shouldn't do, what was his prayer in repentance? Restore to me the joy of my salvation. The devil wants to steal your joy. Okay? He wants to kill your testimony. If he can get you to quit doing the right things, the very fact that you proclaim to be a Christian and you're out there doing stuff you shouldn't do is going to destroy your influence. It's going to destroy your testimony because you're allowing things to go on that you shouldn't do and you're not doing the things you should do. And so your influence and your testimony is going to be killed. And then he's going to destroy your faith, because here's what happens. When we get disillusioned and we start feeling guilty, because let me tell you, the same devil who will help you to do the wrong thing will lay on the guilt and all that stuff. I mean, he wants to condemn you. He wants to take you out of commission. He wants to take you out of operation. He wants to take you out of relationship with God. And he will destroy your faith. How many of you know people who were in a faith walk at some point in time, and you know good and well right now, maybe you don't totally understand how judgment's going to look, but those people right now are not serving God. At one point in time, they were serving God, and they are not serving God. Now, how many of you know people like that? Why? Because the devil's job is to steal your faith, to destroy your faith. He is the enemy. We are not each other's enemy. Diversity is not the enemy. The devil is the enemy. So what do I do? You know, one of the things that we've come to realize is you can name all the problems you want to, but if you don't give any solutions, you don't get very far. So if we know what the problem is the devil trying to confuse us, then what do we do? Okay, here's the how-to. Real simple. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Let me read to you from Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3 says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That's what we do sometimes, isn't it? We grow weary and lose heart. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus, we don't have to grow weary and lose heart. Our strength is in him. His strength is our strength. Is Jesus imparted to us. How many of you remember the story of a guy named Peter? Matthew chapter 14. I'm only going to take time to read it to you, verses 25 through 30. Jesus came to the disciples walking on the water. How many of you remember him talking to a guy named Peter? And Peter getting out of the boat and walking on the water. When did Peter stop walking on the water? The scripture says literally in verse 30, I believe it is, when he saw the wind. How did he see the wind? How many of you can see wind? You don't see the wind, you see the result of the wind. So what was he seeing? Crashing waves, rocky water, the boat jumping up and down. And he's going, whoa, wait a minute, I don't have a level spot to step here. Got white caps. Oh, wait a minute, people don't walk on water. If Jesus says, come, let me tell you, you can come no matter what the obstacles are. No matter what the stuff is that's going on all around you, you can come. If Jesus says come, you can come. We need to stay focused on what we know about others. When the devil tries to get us to believe that diversity is division, and he tries to say, well, that's a different thought, so we don't want to embrace that thought at all. You know, that's Those people are opposed. Those people are on the opposite side. When the devil tries to drive wedges, here's what you have to ask yourself about the people in the pews with you. Number one, do I believe they love God? If I can look around in the pews and say, I think they love God. And if I can look around the pews and say, I think they love the church. And if I can look around the pews and say, I think they love me too. Then all that other stuff the devil's trying to get you to think, you ought to just stick in the trash can. You ought to think the best of each other. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this is not in, Justin, you don't even have this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 7 says this. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. In other words, love always thinks the best. These people in the pew are not your enemy. They're on the same team with you. They're going after the same goal. And they love the Lord just like you do. And they love the church just like you do. And they love each other just like you do. We're in this together. We're going to do this together. And the enemy is going to lose. The devil's going to lose. The devil's a loser anyway. But he's going to lose even more. Ephesians chapter 4. You're talking about how-tos. Let me just give you another how-to. And then we're done. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Listen to the very last verse, 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Hey, if you live that way and you treat each other that way, we're going to make it just fine. Body unity. Here's what I'd like to do. I'm dead on 12 o'clock. I'm done. Here's what we're going to do. How many of you here want to be in the center of God's will? How many of you want to do the Bible? How many of you want to fulfill the Great Commission? Okay, so we're all on the same page. Now, we don't all look alike. We all don't sound alike. So here's how we're going to end. We're going to gather. And I just, wherever we need to make the break, I just want us to gather. Okay? We're going to gather because we're one. We're one. We're going to make a circle. We're going to come right through here. We're going to circle. Wherever we need to cut into the pews, we're just going to make a circle of prayer. And MJ, come here, MJ. MJ has been asking me every week since he prayed for the carnival. He's been asking me every week, Pastor Gary, when can I pray the closing prayer? That's the kind of enthusiasm we need. That's the kind of leadership we need. Scriptures tell us a little child, you know, will lead them. Now, MJ's not little anymore. He's a pretty good-sized kid. But he's also growing inside in his faith. You know? MJ, do you make every decision right every time?
No.
Okay. Me either. Me either. So we're in the same club. Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Do you want to see your church grow?
Yes.
Okay, that's all it takes. How many of you love Jesus and want to see your church grow? How many of you want to see people come to Christ? Okay, then what are you sitting in that pew for? Let's get in a circle of prayer and pray so we can go home and eat lunch. I told you I'd get you out of here. And I don't mean in any way to take away from the seriousness or the sacredness of this service. But we're family. We're family. We don't always see everything eye to eye. I don't even always agree with my mama. If we need to back up a little bit, let's kind of go through those pews, and we need to come back a little further, and we kind of cut through the pews there. Can we cut in and reach Crowders and Burt back there? Is anyone can catch them? We may have to do mental telepathy here with a little arm reach or something. Let's just kind of get them in the circles we can. If you guys need to spread out a little bit, can you go that way a little bit? Can you kind of give them some room and get to them? Now, okay, here's the deal. We're dealing with sickness and germs and various things, and we're trying to keep people well and everything. So I know Gerald and I are trying to be really careful, so we don't have to necessarily hold hands there, okay? But we're holding hands in spirit, okay? And that's cool. We appreciate that. And can we catch Crowders and Leo there? Can we get them included? Okay. If we can't physically hold hands, here's the deal. We're together in our hearts, aren't we? So it's like that little kid one time that the teacher kept telling him to sit down. He had this frustrated look on his face, and she said to him, "Johnny, what's the matter with you?" He said, "Well, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." So if we can't touch each other physically, we can touch each other on the inside. We can touch each other because we love each other and we're family. Okay? Ted, can you give me number 5, Ted? Please. MJ? I believe in you. And I believe in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And I believe you love your church. And I believe you want to see it grow. So I'm going to ask you to pray this closing prayer and to ask God to help us to get where He wants us to go.
Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. I know that there are a lot of requests in the bulletin, but I know that you will just deal with them in your way. And I know that you just want to see our church grow as much as all of us do. And I hope that you will just let all of us fulfill your commission, and that you will just let us go out and make disciples of all nations. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
And all God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You're just